Welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster.
You are on it, so I guess I'm part of you, too.
That's right. What can I say?
But I don't know. You are asking about Auschwitz, but there's so little I can tell you. Auschwitz and Dachau. I was so young that if I would try to go back with the thought I have today, it would not be the same. That we cannot recreate what had passed. The past is something, it's yesterday. And we cannot recreate. We are trying, and we all try to put in as much as we can from the past, but I cannot completely redo it.
Of what you can remember that you experienced at Dachau and Auschwitz, what do you remember?
What do I remember? We run a lot. I worked very hard when I worked in Auschwitz because I worked in the kitchen. And I was not chosen to work in the kitchen. But I went in one time. I was suffering from a lot of hunger pain. And by coming from the old country, one thing I remember, I was sitting down very hungry, and I was thinking about animals. And I was thinking about the cows. And I thought to myself, cows have its flesh. Like, it's not human flesh, but it's flesh. And they eat grass, and they live. And then I set out to find grass. And wherever I find grass, it was not easy to find it because it was a small camp, and there was over 45,000 inmates in there, and everything was tramped up. Sometimes I find roots. I clean them up, and I chewed on the roots. But that was not enough. But then I discovered an area around the kitchen. It was restricted. Grass grew around there. So I went there I thought it was the quietest time, and I smuggled myself in, and I got myself a handful of grass, and that kind of helped me through the day, and I was happier for the following day because suddenly I got something to chew on. But then one day I got in there, and one lady came out. I do remember her name. I'll never forget her name. And she looked at me. She said, "Do you have a sister?" And I said, "No." "Would you like to work in the kitchen?" And I looked at her and I said, "Me work?" And she was around 5'10". Wow. Big, husky woman, and here I was, a little kid. I mean, I felt small against her. And I said, "Me working in the kitchen?" I didn't have the chance to say yes or no. She threw the rope on me. When she threw that rope on me, I couldn't throw it back. Done, because would I ran away and they catch me, I ran away from work. Because she approached me to work in the kitchen. And she told me her name is Sick Rosie. My name was Rosie too, and hers, but her last name was not my name, it was Sick. And I put that rope on me, it was going all the way down to the floor. But I happened to have a string around my waist, something around my waist, and I was able to tie that apron and pull it up and walk into the kitchen. I walked in the kitchen. I never been in the kitchen. I never worked in the kitchen. I didn't have no idea where I walked in, but I walked in because I had this rope arm with her name in the front of me, and I heard a voice said, if you'll exchange your name, use your own name. Do not use the phony name. So when I heard that, I turned my head and I ran toward that direction. And I used my own name and I went into a line and I was tattooed. There was only 200 girls tattooed in that camp. There was 45,000 inmates and I got one of them. The German woman came up to me and she said to me, how old are you? I looked at her, I swallowed the big one, and I said, 18. Because I thought that's how old you have to be to work. She said, 18. You are 18 years old. She looked at me again and walked away. I mean, I guess I felt good. I lied, and the same time I got away. How lucky can you get? I thought to myself. Here the thoughts were all mine only. And the following day, the German woman comes back. And she says, who is my 18-year-old one? She never called me by my name. She always called me my 18-year-old one. Now, what was her purpose? To look for this 18-year-old one. She had a necklace on her neck. On that necklace, she carried a key. That key opened one door. And that door, nobody was allowed to go in, except she and I. And I used to walk in with her. And that room was stacked with sacks from 25 kilo. What it is by 55 to 60 pounds. Sacks of powder. Now I call it powder. It had a different function, but I call it powder. I'm going to stay with the word powder. And I had to take a sack of that food out. And after we left the room, she locked the room, and she went from the cooking pot to cooking pot. And we put in and had a second girl that came in, and she had to take out around 4 or 5 pounds of that powder and throw it in the pot. When she did it first, I thought how nice of her. They are thickening the soup. The inmates have a little more food to eat. I thought they were so beautiful. I was so happy to do it. And I told everybody there how nice of her. They are thickening the food and it's so nice to do that. And it had a base like onions. It tasted like onions. And the last some inmates called it onion soup because the base was onion taste. And everybody started laughing, the older ones. I was embarrassed in some ways. What in the world I'm saying here? What's going on? Nobody's telling me nothing. I mean, I was so young, they didn't trust me to I will keep my mouth shut in any way. And I said to myself, now what's going on? Why are they laughing for me when I say they're thickening the soup and they're so nice of them and everything else? So I set out to find out, what does this soup do? Well, did I have a surprise? Surprise of my lifetime. You didn't need much of that soup. a couple spoonful, and you didn't know who you were. You didn't know what you ate. You're hungry anymore. Some of them committed suicide. Some of them were crying. Some of them were sleeping. It worked on everybody different. It didn't work the same thing to everybody. It depends how much liquid they got a hold of. And that's how it worked. And suddenly I realized they are not thickening the soup. They are doing something different altogether. I know it's very shocking when people find out that that really happened. But to control so big masses, they controlled it with some powder. It was a big surprise for me. And after that, the people were very open to me. They were talking a little more. Still, I still was too young to be trusted in a lots of ways. But then I find myself, they used me a lot. And I let them use me. I knew they were using me, but I let them use me because I knew that's the only way I can reach out to thee and thee reached out to me. I don't know if they trusted me or distrust me or they knew. I knew what there was going on, but I didn't know what went on.
Sure.
I knew very clear everything, but I was very careful to not to catch me that I know. As far as I know, nothing mattered. Okay.
What type of things did you see with your eyes as far as how you were treated outside? Were others hit or maimed or?
No, we didn't have a chance to be with the inmates because we worked so hard in the kitchen preparing the food and all that that we couldn't see that much to see what's going on really in the camps. And the camp itself went on all kind of things, but we couldn't see too much. And after we put in 8, 10, 12 hours of work, you were very unable to think or figure anything. There was a time I was so tired and I needed sleep that I took the iron that we were cooking with coals. Coals that we heated the water and everything. We were not cooking with electric. We cooked with coals. I took the iron. I saw the girls that really burned themselves that they let them sleep sometime. So I took an iron and I burned my own foot, my own knee, to be able to stay to get some sleep because I couldn't stand up already. I burned my own knee, a big hole in my knee. I still have the spot on the knee. And then I took a roll of toilet paper and wrapped myself up and just left that little piece that I burned open. Well, they could, when the German woman came for inspection, I showed her I'm burned. And she let me sleep. I slept for 24 hours straight through. Because I couldn't stand up. I couldn't stand up. And then they said they are going to relocate us to a different hospital. And the paper came off. I went back to work. I got well very fast. Because I did it all myself. But I had the capacity to do it.
Yes.
Now that I look back, it was a smart move for my part. It was one of the smartest moves I ever made in my lifetime. I needed rest. I couldn't stand up anymore. I would probably end up like somebody really burnt hard. Instead, me taking this iron and sticking it myself and burned myself a big hole in my leg.
So throughout all of this, Rosa, how did God help you?
God was instrumental to me. I never used the word God, but I always felt that somebody is with me. I never felt completely alone. Now, some people call it God, some call it different names, but I call it some kind of superpower was in me. I never used the word God because in my household, very little did we use the word God. It had to be something, a very, very extreme thing to happen when they used the word God. We didn't use it too often. But I felt there is something guiding me. And I was not by myself. It was just something that was giving me some kind of ideas. And you can call it whatever you wanted, but there was a special power over me. I would not name it, but I still, even today, there is a special power that I find that guides me to do certain things at certain times. I still don't use the word God too often because it's a very sacred thing to use the word. And if you use it too much, you can abuse it. And so I never use the word, but I use it, a special power from some place is coming to me.
How did that special power help you through those difficult times in Auschwitz and Dachau?
It's not just Auschwitz and Dachau. All through my life, I see him. Even now that my husband is gone, I still have that special power coming to me. It is a power, I cannot explain it. It's unexplainable. And if you have it, you can utilize it. And somehow it guides me. It gives me the instinct to do the right thing at the right time. And it does, it does. It does make me move around. And I don't act like my age. I don't feel my age. And my age is a number, and it belongs in the number of alphabet. Myself, I feel just like I used to feel all my life. I feel very powerful, very energetic, very going, coming at the stage of mind we are in. That's all I can say. You call it whatever you want it. But it's a certain power that some people have it, I guess, and some people... Every person could have it if they would look for it. You have to look for it. And once you find it, don't mistreat it. Use it.
So, through all that you've gone through, what lessons did you learn that you can pass on to others?
To be happy with what they have. If he decides to give you more, he will give it to you. You don't have to envy anybody. You don't have to grudge nobody. You have to live in the means that you are today. That's the only thing. And I feel if you meant to have it, you're going to get it. If you're not, no matter what you do, what you don't do, you're not going to get it. And that's what I have to pass on to the future.
So being a survivor of the Holocaust and all that you endured, what lessons did you learn?
What lessons? The lessons are you have to be satisfied with what you have. What we have. As long as we are healthy and we can come and go, and we can read and write and eat and sleep. We are very lucky people. That's the lesson I learned, and that's the lesson I have, that we have to be happy with what we have and who we are. We cannot change who we are. You have to accept who you are and do the best you know how.
How about, Rosa, any stories, comments that you would like to pass along to the listeners around the world about anything that comes to your mind from your time in the Holocaust?
There is very little I can pass on.
Okay.
Everybody has to find their own way. And the thing is, I'm happy I'm here. And he had a special reason to save me, because I should not have been here, according to my age and to myself. But he left me, and I think he put me in the area that I can pass on certain things. And I am passing on without even realizing it. If you really look at my story, you will find little things that I will pass on. And I guess he put me, even when I talk about the powder, is something that I was the one who carried out that sack. And I was chosen, the 18-year-old one was chosen to take out that sack. So I'm passing something on there. If you really look very close to the conversation and analyze it, because there is more than eyes meet. And that's what I like to leave behind. And I think that's why he saved me, because I can pass it on. I'm here, and I am passing it on. And you find me for me to go with you on the vet side. So you see, there was a reason why we met, why we became friends, and who we are. It's not coincidentally. There must have been a reason why we were put together, even. And why we are together. And you came through the time my husband was ill, and you helped me. And now, whatever I can help the rest of the world.
Thanks for listening to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster. Patty is a motivational speaker, writer, musician, and has an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. For more information, log on to www.pattyfoster.com.
That's the... Eat some soup now.